from the Game Nashville studios, it's time for Darren, Donick, and Chase. With hosts Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And again, Monday morning to you. You. Welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Max Burrs on the board. Our Hillside Medical Game Studios. He is filling in for Elijah Campbell, who went to Atlanta yesterday to see his beloved Saints beat the Falcons, and he was so excited. New Orleans is getting into the playoffs. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're not. So he needs a day to recoup. Not a good day. They beat the Falcons, but they didn't get in the playoffs. We got lots to discuss today. Boy, what an end to the NFL regular season last night between the Raiders and the Chargers. If you didn't enjoy that drama, there's nothing anybody can do for you if that's clearly not what you're looking for, because, I mean, they picked the right Sunday night football game, everything on the line, win and you're in, and oh, by the way, if you tie, you're both still in, and they got a winner on literally the last play of the game and the last play of the 2021 regular season in the NFL. Wow. Wouldn't you always – everybody wishes, every league, every TV contract, they all wish they could have an end to a regular season like that, right? Well, the NFL actually had it happen.
Incredible.
So, yeah.
Incredible.
You know NBC today. I haven't seen the ratings, but I'm sure they are just drooling to see the ratings from last night's
game. Just judging from my Twitter feed while that was going on, it was literally 95 out of 100 tweets – were about that game, and that's what I gauge sometimes, because I try to follow, you know, a wide range of people and a wide range of sports, and even the people from the other sports were tweeting about that game. If you did not even have the compelling part of the tie, it still was a tremendous game. Mm-hmm. The comeback, the fourth down conversions, the incredible plays that you saw from the Chargers just to get the game to overtime. That was great drama in itself. But then on top of it, the layer of the playoff thing, that was a classic. That was amazing. Whichever, especially if you didn't have anybody you're rooting for. Like, if you're a Raiders fan or a Chargers fan or a Steelers fan, you had to be dying during that game.
They kept showing the two Steelers fans in the stands that
one
were
guy,
dying.
That one guy is a superstar now, the celebrity.
I know.
Two Steelers fans.
Especially
the one guy.
They got a ton of airtime last night.
They did.
And their range of emotions was hilarious to watch it play out on national television, especially there at the end.
Incredible. Incredible. Great drama. Great theater.
Oh, my gosh. It was fantastic. And I really, and you know, you were a part of our text chain, our Silly Underdog picks check text chain with Kelly Holcomb and Chris Sanders. I'll go on, spoiler alert, Kelly got the Jags over the Colts. So obviously you can imagine there was a lot of texting going on yesterday. And in that text chain, Kelly was like, I told you guys. He was thumping his chest. I told you the Steelers were getting into the playoffs. I told you they were going to win. And rah, rah, this. And I was like, well, they're not in yet. And he's like, well, I mean, a tie. I mean, by the way, the Steelers had a tie this year. So it's not like it's uncommon. They're probably in this position because of the tie earlier in the year.
Well, we've had a lot of discussions on our show about how the NFL's overtime system now with the 10 minutes does make it more likely that you're going to have some ties. And that's been the case anyway. So you could not have ruled it out.
Mm-mm.
Because of now you're guaranteed the second possession unless you give up a touchdown, all of that stuff. And because it's only 10 minutes, we saw it with the Titans and the Jets early in the season where each team only had time really for one possession. So you couldn't completely rule it out. You had to, if you were smart and you're the Steelers, you weren't counting your chickens too early. You had to say, well, there is a possibility of a tie, especially under the circumstances where each team could have gotten in with a tie. So that just made it all that more compelling. I mean, Twitter was just going crazy. Tie, go for the tie. You know, it was everybody was tweeting that.
Well, I mean, look, I understand Donovan McNabb's tweet when he said, guys, stop all this nonsense. You can't tie in the NFL, so the Steelers are good. They're in. Like, everybody can understand that. He didn't understand you could tie. But we've grown accustomed to, with this, like you said, the new rules. It's not uncommon. I don't love it at all. I know why they're doing it. I still don't love it at all. I don't think anybody pays that kind of money for NFL games to walk away with a tie. But that's what we have. And to dismiss like a tie could happen, and I firmly believe, you know, and by the way, if you want to bring up Brandon Staley for coach of the year, like, cross that off your list. Please don't do that. And should one incident cost him? Yes, because it probably cost his team the playoffs. The Raiders have admitted it changed their mindset. Like, well, what is the reasoning?
It's still a little foggy.
But why? Why would you call the timeout? Why? What reason do you have?
Well, he gave the reason, and it's just a matter of whether you think that was smart reasoning or not. The Chargers have a terrible run defense. So with the ball on the 40, right, the ball was on the 40. It was 3rd and 4, 39 seconds left.
34.
His rationale was, they're running the ball, and I have a bad run defense. I want to get my best run defenders in the game. So that's why he called the timeout.
Yeah.
Well, now, he said.
I'm not buying it. He's got to come up with something.
Well, I do think that that's what he was thinking. Now, you can still say that's wrong, and I think I agree. I still would have put the pressure, I would put the onus on the Raiders with the clock running.
I think they were content just running the clock run down.
But they weren't going to kneel on the ball. They were going to hand the ball off. So you do have to defend that play. If you give up a long run, I think this is my assessment. I think the Raiders were going to keep running the ball. They weren't going to throw it, but they weren't going to kneel on it. And I don't think they were going to call timeout. But I do think that they were going to run it. And if they popped a big run, then you kick the field goal, which is exactly what happened after the timeout. So what happened was the Chargers called the timeout, put their best run defenders in, and still gave up a big run to make the field goal very doable. My big question, I think the big question would have been timeout or no timeout. If they stuff the run on 3rd and 4, the ball's around the 40, try the 57-yard field goal?
No,
I think you probably just let the clock run out.
No way. Like, that is coaching malpractice. Like,
I agree.
Did you watch the Iron Bowl? No.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be short. The ball could get blocked. I mean, there's all a bad snap. Like, there's all kinds of scenarios when all you have to do is take a knee and you're in the playoffs. Like, why would you? Like, it would be coaching malpractice.
But the Raiders weren't taking a knee. That's where I give them a little bit of slack about calling the timeout. I don't think
we don't know that, though. We don't know that.
Well, like, they were in a shotgun. They were in a shotgun formation.
Oh, well, I'm talking about, we don't know how the next play, that play plays out without the timeout. We don't know what they're doing.
No, they were in
a
shotgun. They were in a shotgun ready to run the ball. I think they were going to take the shotgun, hand the ball off to Josh Jacobs, and just see what happened.
Yes. I'm saying after that, we don't know what they would have done.
Well, they did the same thing.
Huh? That was the third down play. I'm talking about no matter what happens, the very next play, they could literally run the clock out. We don't know what they would have done. That's what I'm saying. He stopped the clock. All they had to do was
run a
play, and the game could literally end that way.
Well, once it got to the two-minute warning, in theory, the Raiders could have kneeled on the ball and ended the game there in a tie. Once it got to first and 10, 2 minutes to go after that great throw by Carr, that pretty much ended the chances that the Chargers were going to get the ball back. I sat up all night, not all night, but I sat up about an hour after the game. I wanted to see the press conference. This one really got my wheels turning because I'm trying to be fair to the Chargers. He's getting drilled for calling the timeout, which I don't think was a good move. But I do think the Raiders were going to just run the ball. I don't think they were going to kneel on the ball. So all the Chargers had to do was stop the third down play, and it still would have ended up in a tie because I don't think they would have tried a 57-yard field goal. But 47? Oh, yeah, we're trying that. That guy's been pretty money. Do you disagree?
I think he realized it afterwards and went, oh, crap. Oh, no. Oh, no. What? Look, he's a young coach. He's a young head coach. Does that mean he's not a good coach? No. Does that mean that they all have to learn sometimes the hard way, in this case on national television, with a zillion eyeballs on them because of what was at stake and it was a crazy game? Unfortunately for him, yes. Mike Vrabel has had to learn. This is year four.
Yeah.
How many times did we sit here on Mondays and question some really, really,
of course,
you know, like calls? It's like, what are you doing? Like, what is – I don't care what your explanation is. Like, that doesn't make any sense because he had to learn this stuff. He had to learn this stuff. Brandon Staley made a huge mistake. That's what he did. He made a huge
mistake. I don't know if it's a huge mistake.
And he's going to have to learn from it. The look of, oh, no, what have I done? I've done it. Oh, boy, I'm going to get crushed. He's got to say something. Look, you can.
I have to say something. No, I do think he was telling the truth because if you look at the overtime, Josh Jacobs was running the heck out of the ball in the overtime. So I think in Brandon Staley's mind, he's saying, look, they're going to run it. I got to stop this play. I can't give up a 30-yard run because then they will kick the field goal. It'll be easy. So I think he didn't trust his defense to stop them on the third down, and he didn't dare to say, well, I'm just going to put it on the Raiders. I'm going to let the clock keep running and take my chances here. I think his fear of worst-case scenario, they're just going to turn and hand it to Jacobs again, but I got to make sure I stop this play or else they're going to be in field goal range. I think that's sound thinking, honestly, even though it's conservative thinking.
Yeah, I'm going to go with learning lesson for Brandon Staley. He's a good coach.
Okay, so if the clock keeps running and they don't call a timeout and Jacobs gets 15 or 20 yards, or even the run that he got, how many did he get on the last third down play?
Eight or nine.
Yeah, 8, 9, 10, something like that. It made it a makeable field goal. I think they get roasted for that. Everybody in the stadium knows they're going to run.
So, Darren, you're of the belief that if Staley doesn't call the timeout, that it ends in a tie.
Yes.
I mean, I'm with you. I think he screwed up.
Yep.
You don't think they're going to run the ball again?
No. Derek Carr, if you watch Derek Carr's interview.
I watched it, but he also said in that same sentence, we were not going to go for the tie. We were going to go for the win. He did say that.
Of course he's going to say that.
He's got to say that.
Nobody's
going to come out and say.
They weren't going to kneel on the ball, but they were going to run a running play.
Okay.
Right.
Do we agree on that? They weren't going to kneel on the ball. Do we agree? They were not kneeling on it.
No, I don't agree. I don't.
I'm telling you, the football game where a team goes into
Derek
a shotgun,
Carr is not going to come out and say, yes, we were going to go for the tie, but instead we went for the win after the time. If one, you're not going to throw somebody else under the bus, and two, you're not going to announce to the world you were going to go for the tie.
Right. He's never going to admit it. No, nobody in that scenario is going to admit it. Here's the bigger conversation that I am curious of, and I'm curious of your guys' thoughts on this. Did we see the beginning of the end of ties in the NFL with that scenario last night? Because if you're Goodell and you're the owners and you're sitting there and you're going, what if these two teams are playing for a tie? Like, that's a bad look. And you guys know my feelings on ties. I hate ties. But I was also hoping for chaos last night. I hate ties in pro sports. I hate ties, period. But does the competition committee this summer look at that and go, maybe we need to figure out how to get rid of ties in the NFL? So we don't have a situation like this again. I say they do.
I say no.
I wouldn't have had any problem.
I wouldn't have had any problem if they did kneel on the ball or both.
They were within the rules to do it, but does that make it a good rule?
It happens in other sports, and I don't. The other thing that you're going to have is a field goal kicking contest or a pass it through the tire swing contest, like a shootout. How do you do it? How do you prevent a tie? There's no way. Is
well,
there?
I mean, you would.
I
have
don't think
to...
it's going to change because the reason they changed it is for safety, and you can't go back on that. I mean, the whole point was it's the same thing with college football. Now, they both have gone the wrong direction too far. Like college football's overtime is terrible. It's awful.
Yes.
It's absolutely awful. It's embarrassingly bad. 2-point conversions, like that is it's a joke to watch. The NFL is not good because more times than not you are going to get ties. I mean, 10 minutes is not enough sometimes. And with the rule of, you know, you kick a field goal and the first possession, the other team is going to get another, you just don't know, and they could go down there and kick a field goal. That does happen. Now you're asking them to do 3 scoring in 10 minutes? I mean, good luck with that. But I don't think they're going to change it because they did this for safety purposes. That's the whole point. How do you change that? Nothing's changed on that narrative.
Right. I mean,
if there was an easy way to change it, then they would probably have already changed it.
I think they could look at going back to a full quarter. I mean, the 10 minutes is just – we've talked about that. I just don't see the point in the 10 minutes.
I think that's reasonable. If you want to add 5 minutes to just have an extra possession or two to make it less likely to have a tie, then I think that's fair.
I've thought about this too because, you know, I've given my thoughts on the shootout in hockey. It's exciting, but I don't love it. It's gimmicky. But they did it so you don't have ties. And now they don't have ties in hockey anymore. They have the 3-on-3 overtime, and then you go to a shootout. If the NFL came out and they announced that, hey, we're going to play a full quarter, and if it's still tied after that, we're going to go to field goals, again, I wouldn't love it, but I would love that more than a tie. So I would take that over a tie if it meant there was a winner. And I may be in the minority on that, but
I would vote to add 5 minutes, which I think would
that's what it was
lessen the percentage
before.
Of time.
You're just going back to the old way then.
No, you still have you've added. It used to be that you had the 15 minutes, but the first team that scored wins. So if you just come down and get a field goal, the game's over. That's why you were getting very.
No,
they had it that way for a while.
They had the 15 with the. The first score, and then you get the second.
They
possession.
Changed. They went.
Yeah,
to
so
the,
there were less ties back then. So if that's how it was, then I would have gone. I'd go back to it if that's
well.
What it
you
was
say
before.
Back then, it's
five
been,
more minutes would,
right,
would make a difference.
But it's been two. I think it's been 2 seasons or 3 seasons since they've gone to the 10-minute overtime. They've had the rule where if you kick a field goal, the other team gets a chance. They've had that for about 10 seasons now. That's been in place for a while. They just changed the timing.
But the number of ties since they went to 10 minutes has gone up.
Yeah.
True?
I agree. No, you're right. I agree.
Well, it hasn't been 10 years, has it? I thought it was after the break. What was it? The Mahomes. It was a Brady game? Was it the Super Bowl? They didn't get another. They didn't even get the ball. They didn't even get. That has been 10 years ago. Wasn't that what really sparked all this? Because. It wasn't the comeback, the Patriots comeback Super Bowl over the Falcons.
And, well, that the playoffs are different.
They didn't even get the ball.
So 2017 is when they shortened it to 10 minutes.
Yeah, but what was it when they changed it to
2012?
2012.
The modified overtime.
Where you have to score a touchdown in the first. Okay. So since 2017, I would like to see the percentage of overtime games that have gone to a tie since they went to 10 minutes. Because it just looks to me like there's a lot of games where the clock comes into play. And that changes everything. When you have to hurry, if you've just gotten the ball for the first time and the 2-minute drill is going on, that didn't used to happen very often in overtime. Most of the time, the exhausted team, it would be done in a possession when you only had a field goal. But the extra 5 minutes, like last night, if there were 5 extra minutes on the clock, I think it would have been much less likely that you had the ending that you did.
So let's see. In 2012, that's when they – so 2012 to 2016 is when they modified the rule where if you kicked a field goal – and from 2012 to 2016, there were 5 ties. in the NFL. In 2017, okay. they went from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. And since that time, there have been five ties.
Interesting. Same amount.
Yep. Including
well, my theory has been shot.
One this year.
My theory has been shot down. All right, forget it. Stick with 10.
I mean,
a lot had to happen. A lot had to happen for it to come down the way it did.
Oh, it was – the thing is, we're talking about that, but the Chargers were like cats last night. I mean, I think they ran out of lives, and that's why they lost.
How many fourth
downs? Six. It's been 30 years since somebody converted six fourth downs in a game. Three decades, and they did it last night. Six times they converted fourth downs.
It was amazing.
It was amazing to see them. And what were they down? 15 with 5 minutes to go?
Yeah. Well, they had to complete a fourth and 21 for a touchdown and then get a two. That was just to get it to seven. Then they had the ball back, and they had 19 plays where you talk about going uphill. I don't know what the stats were with all those fourth downs, but they didn't complete any passes in between. It was like incomplete, 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 fourth and 10, pick it up. So, like, his completion percentage wasn't good. It was like the slowest tying touchdown drive, and his completion percentage was less than 50%, easy. But they got it down there.
Willie, I will.
It was unlike anything I've ever seen.
I will give you this stat. So, in 2012, when they changed the rule as we know it now, with where, again, you have to score a touchdown, there have been 10 ties, okay? From 1974 to 2012, or to 2011, which was the sudden death overtime as we knew it forever, there were only 17. So to your point, the ties have gone up since they made that modification to the rule, because they had one in 2008, Eagles Bengals. I think that's when Donovan McNabb said post game, I didn't even know there were ties in the NFL.
Yep, it was.
Because it was so rare.
Yeah, 2002, Falcons, Steelers, 97, Giants, Redskins. There were two in 97, but then before that, 1989, 1980. I mean, so it was much more rare before they changed the rule of basically if you kicked a field goal, you still got a shot.
We will come back on the other side and discuss the Titans being the number one seed in the AFC. They have a bye, and they'll sit back and watch Wild Card Weekend take place and then get ready for the divisional round at Nissan Stadium. We'll talk about their win in Houston yesterday. On the other side, as you listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show presented by Gracian CBD products, curated for life. Titans get it done. Wasn't easy. They went 28-25 after being up 21-0 at the half. Looked like they were in cruise control. And it looked like it was going to be a laughable finish to the regular season. And then the next thing you know, here comes the Texans, outscoring the Titans 18-0. In the second half before the Titans kicked it in and scored a much-needed touchdown and pull away with the 28-25 and a huge final drive with about 4.5 minutes to go where Houston never got the ball back and they're only up three. What did you guys make of the game?
I thought they let their foot off the gas a little bit. I thought it was a really good performance in the first half, did exactly what they wanted to do. If you go a little further, think about the end of the first half. It's 7-0. Titans are playing a good game. You're kind of thinking Texans don't have much bringing to the table here. The Titans are looking like they have been the last couple weeks against the Dolphins. And even against the Jags a few weeks before that, they're doing their thing. They're running it. Passing game actually looks like it's coming around a little bit. The defense is playing well. You just never could have foreseen the Texans doing what they did in the second half offensively. But the Titans are driving the ball around the two-minute mark, approaching the two-minute mark of the first half. David Culley starts calling timeouts. And I'm thinking, okay, That's pretty daring. You know, his offense hadn't done anything. You'd figure you'd be happy to be down 10-0 at the half. The Titans get the ball to start the second half. But he's saying, no, I want to give my offense a shot here with a decent amount of time before the end of the first half. And that ends up burning them because the Titans go in and score. It's 14-0. There's enough time on the clock that the Titans have all their timeouts, and they still get the ball back because the Texans did what they had done the whole first half. They couldn't get anything going. They had to punt it back, and the Titans score again. So it's 21-0, whereas if they had just not called any timeouts, I don't think they would have had a second possession there. So that was a daring move by David Culley that backfired on him. Then they come out in the second half, the Titans, and they've got Julio Jones wide open on a pass that would have been a touchdown. And it could have been 28-0, but they missed that. And then the Texans all of a sudden turned into a different team. Danny Amendola took a, you know, he went into the phone booth and he came out Superman.
What?
And he just completely changed his tune. And then all of a sudden we had a football game. That was pretty crazy. Could you have ever foreseen a second half?
It was crazy too.
It was crazy.
Could you have ever foreseen a second half that we saw?
I got queasy in the second half.
It did get a little queasy.
No, so that's a great question. Could you ever have foreseen a second half like that? I could. I mean, the thing that worried me is when they got, you know, it's kind of like hockey, 3 goals, the most dangerous lead in hockey. When they got up 21-0, I had a little bit of uneasiness because it's
I
just,
had no uneasiness.
See, I did because it's that whole
because
play.
Why?
I'm trying to tell you.
The way the defense is playing?
Because they play down. Because whatever, for whatever reason, they play down to their competition, just like they play up to their competition. And so they looked great in the first half, and I'm like, man, they're going to take the foot off the gas. I'm worried. Now, I didn't expect Danny Amendola to blow up like he did.
You were really feeling that?
Yeah. Because I've seen it before.
I was not feeling
it. I thought it was in cruise control.
I thought they had total control of the game, and I had faith that they would just keep grinding it out. So, first of all, I think you got to give a little credit to the Texans, because as we said last week, they did not mail it in. For a team that's as bad as they are and it has a bleak outlook, you know, do we have a quarterback? Do we have a coach? We've still got the Deshaun Watson problem. We have no draft picks. I give them credit for playing hard. They played hard.
I said it all last week that the Texans, if you've been watching their games, this team has not mailed it in. But I also said, if you want to, you know, push that notion aside, jump on them early, and they'll go on and call it a year. And they didn't. I mean, so
exactly.
I was wrong. They did
exactly
what I thought they would do. I thought, you know, okay, the Titans up 21-0, like the Texans. Okay, we thought we could hang in here. We'll give it a fight, but let's just call it a year. We'll see you in 2022. But they didn't. That's where I was wrong. Like, the Texans fighting. I've watched them all year. Like, this team is – they're playing for Culley. Like, that's why I'm surprised. When they said on the broadcast that, you know, there's talks of, you know, them making a move with Culley, I'm like, why?
Yeah, I would not.
You guys have created a roster that sucks. No coach is changing anything right now till you get better talent. At least this team is playing for this guy. At least they haven't thrown in the towel. At least they're competitive. At least they're winning games down the stretch, and they're not thinking about the offseason. But how about you give them some more talent? I would be surprised if they make a move, but would I? It's the Texans.
No,
to fall in the category of bad organizations because they've really botched a lot of stuff. A coach isn't changing this team right now. A coach, you know, is right now – void of talent. Like, that team doesn't have very many talented players. They've got a lot of cast-offs. They've gotten rid of all their talented players, and they've got a really, really talented quarterback that's sitting on the sidelines doing nothing. So who knows how that's all going to play out. But I truly thought where I was wrong about this Texans team is I thought they would pull the ripcord at halftime. They would be like, all right, see you guys.
Yeah. And Brandon
good luck
Cooks
in the playoffs.
Brandon Cooks was out of the game.
Yep.
So that's where – you know, you could not have foreseen a Danny Amendola half like that.
Well, and more on Culley. I read this morning on Twitter that, you know, there are discussions and they're kind of, you know, doing an evaluation. I agree with you, Darren. I mean, they're not a coach. A coaching change is not going to fix that roster. That's going to take a couple of years to do that. And if you have this current roster that is willing to play for this guy with all of the stuff that they have been faced with the Deshaun Watson distraction and all of that, I'd keep him. Do I think he's going to take them to the promised land and win them a Super Bowl? No, but you're not anywhere near that right now. So why even think about that? You know, if he's just keeping the team on the tracks with what he's doing, then I would say stay with it. So, because you got to give them credit for the second half of them staying in it.
And if I'm a bubblegum company, I'm absolutely voting
to
keep
gosh.
David Culley the head coach. He's the best thing that's happened to bubblegum in a long time.
I love my gum. I chew a lot of gum. Man, he has got me whipped. I'm not in his league at all.
Yeah. I have to say that in the dugout sometimes.
He's there with
Lavi. To kill some time.
Lavi
is a one – he's a one stick of gum guy.
Yeah.
I remember in the dugout for baseball. In the dugout in baseball, we used to play the game of let's see how many pieces of gum we can chew at one time. This is what happens in some baseball games in the bullpen sometimes, or if you're sitting out, if you're the DH. David Culley looks like he's played that contest a few times. Like he's a three or four piece at a time.
Oh no, he's more than that.
Oh yeah.
I'm three or four piece, and he's more than that. I'm telling you, I know what three or four pieces looks like. And he's more than three or four pieces.
Also,
I mean, the dude has his pockets, as they said on the broadcast, stuffed with bubble gum.
Yeah, he does. He's got it there all the time. He admitted it on the report. Had some fun with it. So also, let's look at the game yesterday in the context of what happened around the league. The Jets were right in the game against the Bills, even though they only had 53 yards total offense. They hung around in that game. And as we know, what happened in Jacksonville. Jacksonville not only won, but won easy against the Colts. So there were and have been really all year some strange games where teams that don't look like they belong on the same field are very competitive. So we probably shouldn't be too shocked about what happened. But in retrospect, I'm just really glad that they were up 21-0 and not 14-0 at the half, because if the same thing happened, I don't know if they would have hung on. And then they had a pretty miraculous play, as we know, with Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, that was amazing.
To escape and hit the guy and hit the NWI down the field, that changed everything. What if they punt right there? Do they hang on?
I don't know. I don't think we want to know the answer to that.
I don't think we want to know. You're right.
We don't have to know, which is a good thing.
That's even a better thing. We don't have to figure that out because I'm not sure we would like to see that play out the way that game was going. I don't know. That ended up being a pretty big play. Actually, it may have been.
It was awesome. I mean, it was shades of McNair in the Super Bowl of I thought about that play. That's the first thing that popped in my head when I saw that of, you know, and not trying to do a comparison, but just comparing that play, like when he did that, I was like, that was like McNair in the Super Bowl. Just
right. Because he went out of sight. He went out of sight. He's like, oh, he gets hit hard and you're like, oh, the play's over. Wait a minute. You know, he came back from complete oblivion and then makes a play. That was great. And then the touchdown. Would you call that a key touchdown, guys, at the end there? Was that a key play at a key time?
NWIs or Anthony Firkser's?
Which one? Well, Firkser had a lot of them. And then there was another guy that made a couple of key
catches
there.
Who? Who?
Number two?
Who?
Number two. He had red tips on his shoes.
Has he been there all year?
He has been.
Who?
Really?
What's I don't know who you're talking about. Who are you talking
He's
about?
He's been on the
What's
team.
His name?
Julio Jones.
Oh, him.
Now,
he used to play for the Falcons,
I'm not
right?
going to gloat. I'm not going to gloat because it's got to happen in the playoffs.
I'm not going to gloat.
I'm not going
to
gloat.
Well, the listeners in Twitter want you to gloat because Darren and I received several tweets that we're going to get
into.
Today.
I saw them, and I'll let those speak for themselves, but I did say in a playoff game, but this is almost ahead of schedule. He's proven that he can do it. It was encouraging that he made it through the game. To me, catching the passes late in the game is maybe the best sign, because there have been so many games where he just hasn't made it through the game and hasn't run well towards the end of the game and had to take himself out.
I mean, he even limped a couple times yesterday early in the game.
Well, every time he
tell me that long pass,
you're worried.
Everybody wasn't exactly. tell me on that long pass you didn't set the – because I did. I was like, oh, boy. Is he going to grab his leg? Is he going to grab his leg?
Of course. Everybody does. He probably does. The coaches probably do. But that was a good sign. Now, it just shows me, though, if you have him, and this has been my theory, you slot all of the other guys in the proper roles. If you have A.J. Brown on one side, Julio on the other, even if it's a shell of what he used to be, if he can just be a threat, then you've got NWI in the right role. You've got Chester Rogers in the right role. So you've got a rotation. Now you've got Ferkser coming around a little bit. So these are the things that I think about a lot. And then, of course, the crown jewel hopefully will happen in a couple weeks. It was interesting that they chose not to play him. But now
– why was it interesting?
They got through it. Well, I thought they might do it. Of course, on Friday after we got off the air, we found out that that was – or Saturday, I guess, is when they made the – they had to make the decision, right? Or no, maybe it was Friday afternoon. I've lost track.
With –
it was after we went off the air, they made the decision that he would not be activated.
No, it's Saturday. I mean, Saturday's usually Saturday's usually when they activate.
That's right.
Or
okay.
Don't activate.
I knew I was sitting in Arizona. I can't remember what day it was, and I saw
he was never going to play.
The decision.
I don't think he was ever going to play. I know we closed the show Friday with what's Vrabel saying?
Well, that's what Vrabel said.
Yeah, but
Vrabel said they were thinking about it, but
right.
They,
but I don't
thought,
think
they thought better of it.
I
err on the
think
side of caution. Well, I know you didn't. I'm just saying I did. I was wrong. I thought they might do it. And then, you know, now they've given themselves two more weeks. We'll see if he can just hit the ground running, which I think will be the biggest challenge. And what we don't know is it fully healed or is it not fully healed? I mean, he has been designated to return. So hopefully take these two more weeks and keep progressing as much as you can without actually playing in a game.
Well, I think he's going to be activated. I mean, he's going to be in the lineup.
Well,
for that
we know that.
Game.
I mean, of course. And can you think about the juice that stadium's going to have when he gets introduced,
right,
in the starting lineup, or when he jogs out there for the first possession? They're going to go nuts.
Oh, and that's one reason why
it's
you do
be awesome.
It. But in addition to what he can do on the field, but yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You can look at the second half of yesterday and you can be concerned. But if you believe what I believe, and that is they play down to their competition, and they play up to their competition, then I actually feel good about the playoffs because I think you know the competition they're going to get in the playoffs. My guess is their first opponent will probably be the Patriots, maybe the Bengals. But the way it could possibly shake out, I don't think Pittsburgh's going to Kansas City and beating the Chiefs.
You don't?
No.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I going out on a limb there by saying
that's you. That's
well, we saw what happened
last time.
You cannot get that analysis anywhere
nope.
else.
No, that's why people listen to the show. That is
good stuff right there.
What is
most
Kansas
of America
City about
got
a 19-point favorite?
Something like that.
I haven't looked at the line. It's got to be double digits, right?
Well, you know, I got it right here.
While you look
betting
it up,
analyst
Jace,
just sent it to me.
While you look it up.
13.
I do think it was interesting that with the Colts losing and the Chargers losing, you have two teams, and the Raiders and the Steelers, who, to their credit, they eked out some wins, but they were badly outscored over the course of the season. More so than almost anybody. Rarely does a team make the playoffs that gets outscored by that much. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. For the season, 17 games, the Steelers were outscored by 55 points by their competition. And the Raiders were outscored by 65 points, even though they won their last four games in a row. They've had a bunch of games go to overtime. They've been on the razor's edge. But that just doesn't happen very much. Whereas the Colts outscored their competition by 86 points. But they lost all the close games. And even the Chargers, who play a lot of close games, they outscored their competition by 15 points. So that is really weird.
You know, Anthony Lynn's like, see, I wasn't the problem. You're still losing close games without me.
Yeah.
All right, Willie, I'm going to give you a little stat about the Titans being the one seed. That's pretty remarkable. If you're going to say that about the Raiders and the Steelers, Wait till you hear this on the other side. But first, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
Okay, let's talk Loan Pronto. This is an outfit that has been delivering this message loud and clear and helping people out. They know that in our listening area, home values are very, very high. They're excellent right now. And you can take advantage of that with a home equity loan. If you're in need of some cash and you want to put it towards something, maybe you got bills to pay, credit cards and whatnot, or you've got a remodeling project or a home improvement project that you're looking for to put even more value into your home. Here's the way to do it. Loan Pronto has the super fast, no cost refi. So call Loan Pronto now. They can fast track your home refi and get you a check for thousands of dollars right now. And if you call Loan Pronto, they can even pay your closing costs. It's easy. You can walk away with the big check and then address your issues financially for 2022 and get set. Lots of people are getting their cash out right now to fix up their home, like a new kitchen, new bathroom, something like that. Now's the time to access that equity while the rates are still really low. That's what Loan Pronto wants you to know. Their refi and their positioning can close in 2 weeks, and the process is easy. It's digital. There's very little paperwork. So call Loan Pronto now and put that equity to work for you right now. You can even skip your next two house payments. Call 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
If you're looking for a place to hang today, how about 312 Pizza Company in Germantown prior to the national championship game tonight? Yes, Alabama, Georgia tonight in Indianapolis. Stillman & Company will be there doing their show. 312 Pizza Company is the home of the best pizza in Nashville, a great spot to watch the game tonight. 312 Pizza Company, their exact location is 371 Monroe Street. Like I said, 2 to 6 will be the afternoon show, and then the game is set to kick off around 7 o'clock. So if you're looking for a good place to hang, that is your place. 312 Pizza Company, Nashville's authentic Chicago pizzeria. Who can it be now? I was kind of saying that about Anthony Firkser yesterday. And to me, that is a guy that they desperately need to get in the mix. I mean, he yesterday for the I would say that was his best game of the year. True?
Yep, and true. It's been coming on.
He's been coming on of late.
The last 2 or 3 weeks, he's starting to get steadily a little more involved, and that was his best game yesterday.
But this is the guy that everybody expected to see all year long, and we haven't. And as I've said earlier, he's been really a zero factor, but he has been coming on of late. That was his best game of the year. And to me, if they can get, you know, that 4 catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown from Anthony Firkser moving forward, if this is what he's going to be the rest of the way, I think that is going to benefit them greatly on offense.
I agree. And if you put him and Julio Jones, just give me what they gave him yesterday, then you've got guys in the right roles. It's like when you get your closer back and then you get your setup man back. All the other guys that were the closer and were the setup man are now in the right roles that they should be. Your second setup guy, you know, guy you put it in the seventh inning, the sixth inning. Everybody's got the right role now with those guys producing closer to what you want. It's still not full throttle. What you're hoping for is that Derrick Henry can be something close. But I continue to hope and believe that now that they've got the bye, which is gravy to me. I had them having to play a game next week when I predicted them to win the Super Bowl before the season. I didn't think they'd get the bye. But now that they have the bye, and you take a look at all the guys that have been missing at one time or another, they got a chance to have everybody for the playoff run, which would be huge. And I think if they're playing at their best, they can win the Super Bowl. That is my belief. And I don't think the national media really sees what we see here. I don't think they've watched close. A lot of the national people, I don't think have watched closely enough to see how much hardship they've had to go through.
Yeah, I was looking at our predictions before the season began, so we can do a couple quick victory laps. victory lap for Willie would be he did not have the Browns in the playoffs. Chase and I did. Victory lap, Chase and I, we did not have the Ravens in the playoffs. Willie had them winning the North. So there's a couple of victory laps.
Nobody had the Bengals winning the North.
Nobody had the Bengals. No. Now, here's mine that I'm going to throw out there because you guys did poke fun at me, and Chase is certainly giving me little prods here and there throughout the course of the season. I am the only person that did have Pittsburgh in the playoffs. You've certainly taken your shots at me for that pick, and guess what? They're in the playoffs.
Hey, good for you. Take the victory lap, but they needed a – hell of a lot of help
is that part of it they need help,
but I'm just pointing that out. They were 3 seconds away from not getting in.
I didn't know it matters on what you need. I mean, blame the Colts, man. All the Colts had to do was beat Jacksonville. They got their fans dressed up as clowns, and Jacksonville dominates Indy.
You talk about a Black Monday. The scene in Indianapolis today has got to be bleak. Wow. How did that happen? Not just this week, but last week against the Raiders. They're in great position at home playing against the Raiders. Couldn't win. Of course, Carson Wentz going on the COVID list seemed to change things. He just, you know, for whatever reason, again, Darren, like you're making a valid point. Right, whatever the circumstances are, your record is at the end what it is. You could make the argument that all of you that during the offseason said the Carson Wentz thing is going to rear itself at some point or another, they got a lot out of him until the last 2 weeks. And then the last 2 weeks, well, I guess you could say at different points in the season, he did have some bad plays at bad times. Their inability to win the close games cost them. But that's the team that everybody in the AFC is very, very excited that they are not in there.
By the way,
talented team that didn't make it.
I didn't have the Colts in the playoffs.
I know I did.
Yeah, you guys did. I did not have the Colts in. I had the Titans as the only team representing the AFC South.
No excuse for them. There's no excuse for them not being in the playoffs.
No, I agree, and you know. Frank Reich, I've liked Frank Reich a lot, and you know, watching Hard Knocks made me like him even more. But and Chris Ballard deserves some you know, blame on this too, obviously. But I think they're going to bring him back. I don't think there's going to be any type of coaching change or GM change there. But that seat is going to be pretty hot going into next year with the move that they made for, and they just extended him too, I believe. But the move they made for Carson Wentz, and they're stuck with Carson Wentz for a good amount of money, and you're sitting here going, is he the guy? Which clearly I don't think he is. They just lost a first-round pick because of all the snaps he played. Not good in Indianapolis right now.
Who's
I think that's the thing.
Who do we talk to that's
flop bad enough that you saved the first-round pick? He played well enough that you have to give up the first-round pick.
Yep.
Who have we talked to for years that's covered the Colts for forever?
Dan Dockich?
No.
Oh, well, he's had strong opinions about the Colts and Chris Ballard. I know who you're talking about.
I know. I'm drawing total blank. He was a journalist forever. Now he's been doing TV, and I'm drawing total blank. And I don't. He just wrote a pretty scathing. He was ripping Ballard. He's blaming Ballard.
I mean, Ballard deserves to be ripped. He was one that got a lot of praise, and even before John Robinson, you know, was hired, was talked about, could he be a candidate here? When he was up and coming with he was with the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Well,
he gets a lot of positive around the league. His reputation is very, very high. Fair? Like, around the league, you say, hey, Chris Ballard. Hey, Chris Ballard, what a great GM.
Right, but they haven't. The problem is they haven't been able to figure the quarterback out. I mean, I know they have Wentz, and we'll see. Bob Kravitz is who we're talking
about.
With the Athletic.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Sorry, Bob. You deserve better.
But, I mean, he deserves – like, the fact that you go and get Frank Reich's quarterback, the guy that he loved in Philadelphia, and they had a very good relationship, and it looked good in Philadelphia. So you go get his guy, and there are question marks surrounding him. You know, whether he can be the guy, can he stay healthy, all the things that have been with him since he was in Philly. And then you've gone through this revolving door at quarterback and haven't been able to figure it out.
Well, they had Phillip Rivers last year, and they went to the playoffs.
But you knew that was going to be short term.
Okay, but they brought him in for a year, and they went to the playoffs and almost beat the Bills in Buffalo.
You're right. You're right. But you also knew
that a bad move?
No, but you knew it was going to be a one-and-done thing.
Oh, well.
What were you going to do behind him? What were you going
to
do after?
They were looking to upgrade. Yeah, well, it all started when Andrew Luck retired is when they had to figure out the quarterback spot. Most people liked the rest of their roster a lot, and then they had to find the quarterback to take them all the way, and they've tried, and it hasn't quite worked. I think you could argue it's an absolute fluke and travesty they didn't make the playoffs this year. You outscore your opponent by that many points, you can look as good as you did, as dominant as they did in some of the games. I mean, they dominated the bad teams for the most part until yesterday. So I mean, it just came out of nowhere. There's no way that team should not be in the field here. So I think it's an interesting question going forward in the coming years. What do they try to do to fix this? Do they just stay with Wentz? Because as you said, they invested a lot to get him as compared to Rivers, which was a stopgap.
I think they're locked in. I don't know how they're going
to
get
out. I think they are locked in. They gave him a first rounder. They've got the contract tied to him. They've got to try to make the most of it. But how limited does he make you? Or how much better can he be? You know, I don't know at this stage of his career he's going to become something different than he was. He did stay healthy. He played all the games.
He did. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk with TD to begin the second hour. Right now, we know we've hit the final week of the Pro Football regular season. It just ended with a bang in Vegas last night, and now we're going into that national championship game tonight. DraftKings Sportsbook has an unbelievable offer to get all fans into the action for this exciting time on the football calendar. Listen up, new customers. You can bet just $5 on any football team to win their game. And if they do, that's all they have to do is win, and you'll get $200 in free bets. How about that? You got the national championship game tonight. You've got the playoffs just around the corner. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also bet on football with same-game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that promo code 1025GAME and just bet $5 on any football team, college or pro, to win. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. That's all you have to do. Remember that code again, 1025GAME. At DraftKings Sportsbook, you must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.